Welcome to movie. I'm trying to do a trailer for the podcast. Yes, I've only got a minute. No, I don't think that's what happened, but I'd have to check. I'll have to go and look at the calendar. Will I put it on the calendar? And if it's not on the calendar, then it didn't happen. Well, it might have happened, but what I mean is I don't have a reference point in time that I can go back and jog my memory. I think there were six. Yeah, well, we bought nine, but three were broken by the time we got home. I don't know, it's a bumpy road. Look, I've got 10 seconds left to create this trailer for the podcast now. I don't know how many listeners we're going to get. Look, I've got a few seconds. This is Movie Pipe.
Movie Pipe.
Pipe.
Movie pipe.
Movie pipe.
Say it.
Say it. Say it.
Movie pipe.
Movie
pipe.
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 Movie pipe.
Movie
pipe to pipe Bushman.
I've got to return some videotapes.
Some housekeeping before we get going with this episode of Movie Pipe. Paul did not die of COVID. Paul had COVID, and the only reason I know this is because I got a letter in the post, in the mail, informing me that the automated insurance trigger, the insurance claim that I have running in the background, if anything ever happens to Paul, I don't need to go and identify any bodies. He's basically flagged on a nationwide system. If any number of criteria, sickness, you know, he's in a car crash, he stubs his toe, whatever it is, it automatically triggers an insurance claim through our insurance, Movie Pipe's official business insurance provider. And it turns out Paul, because he just basically legged it from the episode, last episode, and I haven't seen the guy since the last episode, which, depending on when you listen to this, could be fucking 12 minutes ago or 12 weeks ago, but let's continue the facade. Since last time, Paul has left the compound. I saw him sprinting from the private residence that we have here in South Florida, and I haven't seen the guy since. I haven't heard from him, albeit I did receive a letter in the mail which was triggered from an insurance claim because Paul tested from COVID, but he did not die, so I can't claim that insurance. However, it does tell me that he's alive somewhere. So Paul, if you are listening and the quality of this sounds a bit better, that's because I'm doing it now myself. You've effectively abandoned Movie Pipe, all of the listeners, all 12 listeners, Paul. You've let them down, you've let yourself down. I'll give you one more chance to come back. I'll leave the door unlocked tonight. You have to get through security, obviously, but the second inner door will be unlocked on the latch. So I've instructed security not to start shooting. We'll allow people to walk up to the first gate of the compound. So you should be all right there. You're not going to get shot walking towards the property. Identify yourself. You know John and Sheila, the security people. They'll be like, oh, it's Paul. Where have you been, Paul? You'll probably say, I haven't got time for that now. Just let me through. I need to see Gigi. You wouldn't believe the story. I imagine that's what you're going to be saying to John and Sheila if they're working. If it's the stand-ins, you might have to do a little bit more context building because they probably won't know you. They won't have seen you before because they're from a private security contractor that's covering John and Sheila, or whatever the name I used just now, because I can't remember it. I can't keep up with my own lies. So, Paul, you didn't die. Oh, God, I'm so upset. And the automatic insurance claim
was declined. So I couldn't claim any money against your dead body. So Paul, please come home. I am surviving on peanut butter and banana on toast, which loses its appeal after the seventh week. To our Ghanaian listeners or listener, PSA, public service announcement, guys. You only left a fucking umbrella in the previous episode. And I know it's yours because it's got the Ghanaian flag on it. So I urge you, if you want that thing back, and you want to protect yourself from the sun and or precipitation, please call or tweet us on Instagram and we'll make sure we get you that umbrella. Now, in a new twist of events, we are starting to bring on, you know, the production board, the committee are insisting on we drive our revenue up. It's flat at the moment. We do get a trickle of donations, thanks for that. Although we've had to give a lot of that back, in particular to our listeners in Southeast England. Not happy with the service we provide here. Confused, I am. So we are taking on sponsors, and our first sponsor, which I'll read out. I mean, I'm just basically reading from a piece of paper that was, you know, I copied it from an email that the sponsor sent. They were very insistent since probably about episode 3, they wanted to sponsor this podcast. And I, no, we don't take advertising money. We are not going to be beholden to the censorship of big money. However, our 37 person production committee, the mysterious shadow figures that they are, insisted that we take the money and shut up and read out something on live on air for the podcast. So here's our first sponsor. And if you would like to sponsor, again, please call or tweet us on Instagram and we'll connect you with the necessary people on our side, me, basically. Because fucking Will, don't know where he is. Right, sponsors. Pat's Video Store. For when you have to return some videotapes, Pat's Video Store. Contact Pat. And that's the end of this part of the podcast. So what I do now on the app is, we've been recording for about 6 minutes and 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30 seconds. I'm going to press stop recording. I'm going to go and look at my notes. And then I'm actually going to talk about the bloody movie. It's 1989. It's Germany. It's Genius Hackman. It's The Package. Johnny Gallagher, a sergeant, is sent from Germany with a prisoner. The prisoner escapes from the men's room at National Airport, and Hackman begins his search for his man. Enlisting the help of his ex-wife and various old friends, he finds that the prisoner is part of a plot by senior military personnel on both sides to kill a very high-ranking world figure in order to sabotage arms control talks. He's one man racing against time to stop the most explosive conspiracy in history. Did you know, although the story is set in various places around the world, nearly all of the film, including scenes set in Washington and Germany, were in fact filmed in the area of director Andrew Davis's hometown of Chicago. Andrew Davis, I don't know why I'm doing this voice, but I am. Andrew Davis, he is most known to me for directing The Fugitive with Harry Ford, which is one of the great early 90s action blockbusters, isn't it? With Dr. Richard Kimball and Tommy Lee Jones. And talking of Tommy Lee Jones, he's in The Package as well. He's actually the bad person in The Package. He is The Package, in fact. He's The Package, And Gene Hackman is a sergeant in the army. He's a Green Beret, and he's stationed in Germany, working out of one of the US bases in Germany. It's kind of the, you know, one of those forward bases that was established, I imagine, post-war, post-Second World War into the Cold War. And I believe the US still maintains a heavy presence in Germany over there. And it's, yeah, a Cold War story. The Russian people are, the Russian politicians are meeting with the American politicians, and they're trying to negotiate some sort of nuclear disarmament, something like that. They both agree to, you know, sign a peace treaty of some such. I don't know whether this is based on what actually happened, or it's a fictionalization of what could have happened. Either way, it's pretty sort of realistic in that sense. It's quite, I would say boring, but in terms of how they present the, that sort of side of the story, it's, I'm figuring quite faithful to how those sort of things kind of go. There's lots of ambassadors, diplomats, high-ranking military officials meeting in rooms, shaking hands, drinking coffee, blah, blah, blah. And you immediately get the sense that something is amiss. Some of the high-ranking US officials are trying to do the dirty. And Gene Hackman, because he's Gene Hackman, and he appears on screen as Gene Hackman, and he does his little chuckle thing that he does, which is brilliant. He does it in every single movie. It's kind of the Gene Hackman tell. It's his thing. And it doesn't matter what role he's playing, he will use the chuckle multiple times throughout this movie. like something like that. And it's brilliant. I love it. I love the Hackman chuckle. I think it's one of cinema's brilliant, best laughs. Anyway, he appears on screen and honestly looks a bit old for a sergeant in the Green Beret. But then it's quickly addressed that he never wanted to be colonel anyway because he liked the action too much. So that's why he's older and a sergeant. But really what the thing is here, it's Gene Hackman has to be the star of this movie, and somehow this movie got made with Gene Hackman. It probably could have been a younger sergeant. I'm thinking Baldwin. Baldwin would have been perfect for this, because this is right around the time of Hunt for Red October, and Baldwin's star was certainly in the ascendancy, and I think just needed a slightly younger protagonist here, because Hackman is aging a little bit. Now, that's not to say I didn't enjoy Hackman in this movie. I bloody loved Hackman in this movie. He's amazing. He could be 80 for all I care, and I'd be fine with him being cast in this movie as the action hero. Anyway, he brings a certain gravitas to the story, and you know, Tommy Lee Jones, and Lee Jones Tommy, and he pops up, and you're like, oh, here we go, and he's given his usual shtick, you know, the Tommy Lee Jones swagger that he has, kind of bringing the Under Siege energy, right, as the antagonist, and like just kind of a ball of energy with his weird craggy face. So I'm like, oh, this is going to be like a kind of a road movie where Hackman and Tommy Lee Jones kind of need to find their way back to the US. I'm like, fuck, this is awesome. Like Hackman and Jones, and their chemistry was amazing, but they're on screen for about fucking 2 minutes before Tommy Lee Jones like legs it out of a bathroom in some airport, hit, and one of his henchmen that's obviously been set up to help him escape like whacks Hackman over the head with a kosh, and he wakes up all like, oh, where is he? Anyway, so this could have been a brilliant sort of like Midnight Run type thing, and it's not. So that sort of put me on edge, because I was looking forward to the chemistry that Jones and Hackman were building in the very short period of time they had on screen together, and it's kind of a blink or miss. Like, I wasn't quite sure if they had a history in the narrative, like they had trained one another or had worked with one another, because they just had this instant connection. Anyway, Tommy Lee Jones, he's he then disappears off screen for like an hour. And you're like, where the fuck is Tommy Lee Jones? So you stick with Hackman, and he's trying to get to the bottom of this like growing conspiracy. He hooks up with his ex-wife, who just conveniently is in charge of shit in the military. And like, they sort of have an interesting relationship. They're like friends, and they kind of bicker, but also like love each other still, clearly. And then he calls on somebody in the police force, played by the guy out of one of the brothers out of, it's probably not him, but it looks like him. One of the brothers out of Die Hard 2, one of the kind of angry Chicago fucking cops. You know, you got to move that car, mate. Have you met my brother Angelo, or whatever the fuck his name is in Die Hard 2? Merry fucking Christmas, huh? Anyway, it's either him or the guy from NYPD Blue. It's definitely the guy from NYPD Blue. I'm not sure if he was actually in Die Hard 2. I might be misremembering that, but it doesn't matter. It looks like the guy. He's bald. He has a mustache. He looks exactly like a cop from movies. He's kind of helping Gene Hackman, and then the ex-wife kind of figure shit out. He gets shot. And then there's a bit at the end. I'm not sure if he's actually in on it or not. I don't know, because anyway. And then there's a guy from Home Alone, the dad, who's like an evil CIA shadow figure. And he has the military haircut. And I'm like, that's Kevin's dad. Like a year later, he is Kevin's dad in Home Alone. Yet in this one, I've got to believe that he is a shadowy CIA figure. And I'm like, that's Kevin's somewhat goofy dad, emasculated goofy dad from Home Alone, who forgot his son and, you know, probably should have gone to jail for that. Anyway, he's, you know, before the Home Alone episode and his subsequent, 10 to 15 without parole, he's in The Package, and he's kind of the shadowy CIA guy. And he's kind of fun and sort of just very one-dimensional, and like, just, you know, like he's got a fucking hot iron up his butt. And he gets whacked at the end, and it's like, oh, his, you know, the guy who he was working with, like basically one of his henchmen, then turns on him, and you're like, oh, the conspiracy's even bigger than we thought. Anyway, Hackman saves the day. The president doesn't get killed. Like, you know, Tommy Lee Jones gets shot. Hackman does him. And it's all, you know, everybody gets their comeuppance, and it's a nice ending to the movie. And I really enjoyed this film. It's like, it's not quite as tight as The Fugitive. It doesn't quite have the same star power as The Fugitive, but this would be a great double bill with The Fugitive, or a Patriot, what was it called? Patriots Day? No, not Patriots Day. Patriot Games with Harry Ford, or A Clear and Present Danger, or A Hunt for Red October. Like, around that type of movie that they tend to not make so much these days. And I'd love to see more of those types of movies today. Obviously not with Gene Hackman, because he's about 98, isn't he? And I'm not sure we'd be able to pull this one off. He's happily retired. Leave him alone. Don't try and cast him in mid-budget actioners, all right? Anyway, I appreciate these types of movies. They don't tend to make them anymore. I think Netflix tries to make these types of movies, but they throw way too much money at it. They tend to expand them in ways that just adds 30, 45 minutes to movies that don't need to be 2.5 hours. Get this shit done in 90 minutes. It's tight. Keep it lean. Edit that shit. But it's a hard R rating. There's graphic violence. There's good use of strong adult language. That's what you got late 80s, early 90s. And we're seriously, seriously lacking that anymore. This had been on our list for years because Hackman. I'd always been a bit turned off from it because of the poster. It was like generic Hackman with a gun, and I'm like, oh, The Package, it sounds a bit generic, doesn't it? Like, there's no real, but then once you get into it, you realize, no, this is a solid, I give this 4 out of 5, a solid 4 out of 5, late 80s, early 90s action Blockbuster, not really a blockbuster, is it? It's more of a buster. But yeah, awesome. Check it out, because Genius Hackman is brilliant. It turns out Genius Hackman, Gene Hackman, as he's known to his friends. I just did a little Google search after I recorded that part of the podcast, the review, quote unquote review, wasn't really a review, was it? It wouldn't hold any water in professional circles, despite me being extremely successful. Will and I are extremely successful, extremely celebrated movie critics. We've now gone beyond that. We're now parodying and deconstructing movie discourse via this small but extremely profitable podcast that 12 people listen to. So I just googled, like, what's happened to Gene Hackman, because I know he retired in his 70s, and I know he's now in his 90s of years of age, and I was like, what's happened with Gene Hackman? So I googled Gene Hackman, and the first article that comes up was from a British newspaper site called The Express. A little bit like the Daily Mail, just not nowhere near as bad, but pretty awful. And there was a story yesterday, September 11th, on Gene Hackman. I was like, oh, this is interesting. But it just seems to be a kind of weird advert for health medicine. and there's no new... there's like no new reporting on it. They're just, it's an article that's made from other articles that are out there already about Gene Hackman. And, you know, there's a quote from 2009, because he retired in 2004. And there's a quote from him in 2009 that said, the business for me is very stressful. He means the movie business. And that was in 2004. And then in 2009, he revealed the straw that broke the camel's back, I'm guessing his back, not an actual camel, was actually a stress test that I took in New York. Now, if you're going to do a stress test, don't do it in New York. Do it in a nice, quiet country retreat. Then at least you know you've got kind of a baseline of stress. New York just gives you stress. You get off the plane, your blood pressure goes up by 30%. The doctor advised me, this is Gene Hackman speaking again now, not me. Gene Hackman said, the doctor advised me that my heart wasn't in the kind of shape that I should be putting it under any stress. He says, as he's in New York. And the doctor goes on to say that numerous health ailments are associated with elevated stress levels. For example, the risk of developing heart disease, blah, blah, blah. Too much stress over a prolonged time is also linked to Alzheimer's, diabetes, obesity. Right, I'm reading this through what's happened to Gene Hackman. I'm learning about fucking heart disease. Anyway, all of these can. Oh, here we go. I see. He's a case study. Gene Hackman is a case study, a peculiar case study to sell you the benefits of cycling. Yes, indeed. All of these conditions may have the potential to cut a person's life short, the newspaper on the internet says. Thus, Hackman may have made it to 92 because he chose to retire. They're basically saying, shit, we need a celebrity example of somebody doing something that our readers will pay attention to. Who have we got? Gene Hackman. Yep, he'll do, despite not being relevant for 20 years. Get Gene Hackman on there. Because in 2020, Hackman told Closer magazine, bicycles and he does bicycles and does yard work, presumably not at the same time, and his health is good. The benefits of cycling, there's now, it can help maintain a healthy weight, blah, 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 easier on your joints. Then it goes into something else, there's no more. Oh, there's a picture of Gene Hackman and Clint Eastwood rubbing shoulders. I love rubbing shoulders, don't you? That's probably one of the things I'd look forward to most as a actor slash celebrity slash public figure is the opportunity to rub shoulders, continuously rubbing shoulders with other famous public people. God, like, it's, I mean, are there special shoulder pads or protectors that these people wear? I mean, there's so many shoulders that are getting rubbed, brushing up against one another, bumping, crashing into one, each other's shoulders. I mean, if you haven't built up some strength around your shoulder as an actor and you're listening to this, I know a lot of actors do listen to this. They want to get the inside scoop on some of cinema's greatest critiques, basically. Are your shoulders strong? Are you working out? Do you have a regime around it? If not, look into it. Google it. Download a Google on the shoulder action. Blah, blah, blah. Hackman. Basically, the argument is, look, Hackman, that kind of famous guy, used to be famous and hasn't done anything for 20 years. He removed stressors from his life, engaged in relaxing and beneficial activities, and he's continued to enjoy later life in good health. He has three children, Christopher, Elizabeth, and Leslie. They must be fucking thrilled, right? Anyway, that is the end of this episode of Genius Hackman Pipe.